Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Today, we're in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. And so if you want to turn there, if you got a paper copy of the Bible, digital, in person, online, turn there if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, 1 Peter is not a very big book in the Bible. So if you're new to the Bible, you're like, where in the world is this? If you get to Hebrews, keep going right. And if you get to Revelation, you've gone too far, okay? You should not be reading about the end of the world, all right? And so it's somewhere there in the middle. So 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read out of the NIV this week, the New International Version. And we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read some different passages from chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this: "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." He says, get rid of it. If you're a follower of Jesus, this should not be in your life. Verse 2, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up." Somebody shout, grow up. Grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, Peter continues a little bit on this theme, but he starts to talk about living stones next and how you and I, we're all part of the spiritual house of God. And I've already preached extensively on the next couple of passages. We did a series a little over a year ago called Mad About the House. And so if you're interested in that, email us. It was before Church Online, so you can't find the videos or the podcast still, but we'll connect you to that if you're interested. But for today's purpose, I want you to move down a little bit to verse 13. Okay, still chapter 2, verse 13. Here's what Peter says next. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone." So Peter says, not just the people you agree with, even the people that you maybe oppose them, maybe even evil people. Peter says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God, honor the emperor. Now let's move down one more time to the end of chapter 2, verse 23. Peter ends chapter 2 with a powerful and yet simple portrayal summary of what Jesus has done for you and me, whether you're a Christian or not. And really, Peter's about to tell us, how did Jesus handle pain? Verse 23 of chapter 2. "When they hurled their insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." He says, God, the Father, you got this. I trust you. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." You need to know something today, that not only can you be healed spiritually, but also physically because of what Jesus has already done for you on the cross. I'm preaching before I even finish reading the word, because this is good. By his wounds, you and me, we can be healed physically, spiritually, mentally, for you were like sheep going astray. But now it's different, Peter says. You return to the good shepherd, the overseer of your souls. For those taking notes, I'm calling this message Chasing Neverland. You're like, what in the world are you talking about? You're going to find out in a second. Write that down if you're taking notes. Chasing Neverland. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your church. I thank you for your people. God, this is special. Anytime we can gather together in person and online together as that spiritual house, and God, just lift up your name and point people to you. And I know this, we got people that are here for the first time. We got people that are logging on for the first time. And we also got people that have been a part of this church for a while, but they're struggling, they're suffering, there's pain. It's dark right now, and I just pray, God, that the holy words from your holy word, I pray, God, that we would invite them in to change us from the inside out, to give us hope again as we fix our eyes on you. Yes, it may be dark right now, but we believe in faith that the sun is going to rise again. There is hope now and also later. And so, God, I pray you'd encourage us. I pray that you'd speak because of me and also in spite of me. Holy Spirit, have your way in every single person. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Chasing Neverland. Each Friday that rolls around in my house, my last name's Weems. In our house, we have what we call Weems Family Movie Night. And we've got three young kids, and so we have a lot of fun. The kids look forward to Friday nights, and my wife and I, we look forward to Friday nights. And we have a lot of fun, but I got to tell you, we also watch a lot of Disney movies in our house. And I know not everybody loves Disney. We love Disney, but in my opinion, you can watch the movie Frozen too many times, okay? And so sometimes it's a struggle. Our middle daughter, she loves Frozen. She had a Frozen-themed birthday party not too long ago. And when you think Disney, of course, there's all these different movies that come to mind, especially going way back. And one of the original classic Disney movies was, of course, Peter Pan. And that's probably where your mind went a moment ago as I shared the message title. And you know this about the story, that Peter Pan and the Lost Boys, they love Neverland, right? That they never want to leave Neverland. And the reason why is really, it's two things. Number one, there's zero responsibility. They can just play and party and have fun. But also, the second reason they love Neverland is it's a place where you never grow up. And I know we're talking about Disney, and I know we're talking about a Disney movie, but let's transition to the real world for a moment. Let's transition to real life. I know this, that there are people in our world, there's people all throughout Christianity, that they want this same kind of thing to happen spiritually. And what I mean is, yes, they're saved, and yes, they're going to heaven, but they see it as the finish line and not the starting line, and they don't ever want to grow up in their faith. And you know it's true. You see it in people's lives. We've seen it during this pandemic that has shocked not just our nation, our world, and let's be honest, it's maybe even some of us in the church, that we're happy with where we're at. We are, you could say it this way, we are chasing Neverland. We love where we're at. We don't want to do the hard work of growing in our faith. But Peter says that it should be different, right? That instead of chasing Neverland and never wanting to grow up, that we should instead chase after Jesus. Can I give you a theological term? And you can write this down if you want to. Don't have to. Not a slide for this. I'm talking about progressive sanctification. That every day until you die and meet your maker, you should be growing in your faith, not to make you more saved, but to be more like Jesus. There should be a desire that I want your grace, God, to work in me day after day. And some of us are so frustrated with our faith. And the reason why we're frustrated is because we've been chasing Neverland. We haven't wanted to grow up. But I had you shout it for a reason a moment ago, because God has called you and me, no matter how long we've been loving Jesus, to grow up in our faith. In fact, would you help me preach this message today? Would you turn beside somebody you came with and let them know we're not in Neverland anymore? Come on, tell somebody in the room, we're not in Neverland anymore. Tell your pet at home, we're not in Neverland anymore. It is time to grow up in our faith, no matter how long we've loved God. And that leads me to a few points I want to share with you today. And so if you're taking notes, get ready to take note of a couple of things. Number one is this from chapter 2. Peter tells us this as we try to grow up, that what you feed, it will grow. Like, I came here to help somebody today. What you feed, It's going to grow, Peter says. This is verses 1 through 3 specifically. You see, Peter, he tells the original audience and he tells us here today that we all, if we love Jesus, we should consistently feed our souls. And he alludes to, he doesn't say them specifically, but if you read the biblical commentaries, Peter alludes to what we would call today spiritual hunger pains that Christians should have. What he's talking about without saying it outright is this, that if you love Jesus, you should long for time in his presence. Not to be more saved, because you can't get more saved, friend, but because you love him and you want to spend time with the one that you love. Peter alludes to spiritual hunger pains like this, that you should desire to be in God's house with God's people, that you should hunger for the hearing of the word of God. Spiritual hunger pains, that if you haven't been underneath the teaching of God's word in a while, if you haven't been with God's people in a while, if you haven't been in God's presence in a while, that you would feel malnourished. You see, the more we feed our spirit, the less we'll be tempted to feed our flesh. And really, that's what we're doing these 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're fasting from the world, and we're feeding our soul. We're stepping in. We're pressing in to God. We're dying to ourself, and we're living a life boldly for Jesus. And I got to tell you, this is the soul food that you need. Like fried chicken and mashed potatoes with gravy. That's some good soul food, but this is better. Spending time in God's house with God's people. And I got to tell you, that a thriving, real relationship with Jesus, it does not happen by accident. It didn't happen by osmosis, y'all. You got to put in some effort. You've got to make time for God's presence. You got to take time to have an incredible meal of some good down home cooking, some soul food. You need it more than maybe you know. I like how somebody else put it, talking about this idea. Here's what they said. They said, growing old is not optional, but growing up is. It's a choice. I know some people that have loved Jesus for decades, but their life does not look like the love that they profess. And so I just wonder, are there maybe some people in our church body, just like there were the people that Peter was talking to, that we need to grow up a little bit in our faith, that we need to refuse to be stagnant in our faith? Yes, we're going to be in heaven one day because we surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. But I got to tell you, you were made for more. God wants to work in you and through you. He wants to mold you. He wants to stretch you. And so if you're frustrated in your faith, maybe it's because you've stopped growing in your faith. So let me ask you a rhetorical question. What are you feeding? Because whatever you're going to feed, it's going to grow. And if you look at your words and the things that you say on social media and the way that you talk to your spouse or your kids or your friends, or you look at the things, man, the media that I'm consuming, if it does not line up with God and God's word, maybe it's because you've been feeding the wrong thing. What you feed, it will grow. And so I want to encourage you. This is the best time of the entire year, the beginning of the year, to develop holy habits. Like, it's a part of your rhythm and a part of your routine to pray and to fast. I got to tell you, we've got so many people that have joined us on this 21-day journey, praying and fasting. People here early on a Monday morning, like, y'all are crazy. We got so many people that are here in person, online, just praying and seeking God at 6 a.m. on a Monday morning. We got so many people going through our 21-day prayer and study guide, not just going through, hey, I'm just going to spend this time. No, intentional, going through the book of 1 Peter every single day. And I got to tell you, you are all invited to join us on the journey to develop daily holy habits that will light your heart on fire for Jesus. You were made for more, but you've got to feed the right thing. What you feed, it will grow. Here's a second point, number two, and I just think it's incredible how the Holy Spirit orchestrated all this based on what happened at our Capitol this last week. I wrote this message before what happened this past week. And not just that, but we had picked going through 1 Peter way before what happened this past week. And so we just so happened to be in the middle of something that is so practical and so real and so relevant. And so whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent or you don't know what to believe anymore, the second point is for you, get ready to hear from God's word and receive it with all that you have. Number two, for God's sake, honor others. I hope you'll help me with this second point today because God's church needs this. You need this. This is verses 13 through 17. For God's sake, honor others. That phrase, for God's sake, it's an interesting one to me. Many of us in the room watching online, we've used that phrase or maybe this one, for heaven's sake. And we add that phrase to the beginning of a statement or at the end of a statement to add emphasis, right? Like for heaven's sake, stop chewing with your mouth open. You know, you tell that to your kids. Like, for heaven's sake, please. Like, you're too close to the TV. Scoop back a little bit, right? Like, it adds some oomph behind what you're saying. Like, you're inviting heaven to be a part of what you're trying to get across to your kids or someone else. For those of you that have teenagers in the house, kind of one of the things going on right now is like teenagers, they'll try to scare you and then record it for their social media account, right? And so you're like, don't scare me for heaven's sake. Like, please don't do this. And people say, for God's sake, for heaven's sake. Some have said it this way, for Pete's sake. For Pete's sake, don't do that. For Pete's sake, start doing this. Well, who in the world is Pete? I'll tell you, it's Peter. That's actually where the saying originated. It's from the text. For Pete's sake, for heaven's sake, for God's sake, honor others. Honor authority. Now, let's all get on the same page for a second, okay? Because we got different views and opinions on authority and government and all that kind of stuff. So let's all get on the same page for a moment. Everyone here, I know this. We all love authority when we're the authority. Okay, same page, right? Like when I'm calling the shots, it's awesome. But when someone else is calling the shots, I do not like their shot selection. You know what I'm talking about? And so let's just all get on the same page for a second. You know, I think we can all go back to a time in our life, and maybe you're like even in this place now, but I know we can all go back to a time where the person in charge of us, the teacher, the coach, the boss, that, I don't know how to say this like politically correct, like they were a moron, right? Like we've all got a time in our life where just, man, like they must have ate glue as a kid, wouldn't trust them with sharp objects, you know what I'm talking about? Like just don't, like no clue. How did they get an authority? Like power tripping like crazy. I mean, they are Paul Blart like the mall cop, you know, like way too excited about the tiny bit of authority that they have. We've all been there, and some of you are there today. And so the question becomes, especially as Christians, what do we do? Like when that's the case, how do we respond? And Peter would say this, show them honor the best that you can. Like for God's sake, honor them. Notice the difference here. Not for your sake, because you probably don't get anything out of it, right? Not for your sake or because you want to. Peter says, for God's sake, honor others. And in verse 13, Peter specifically uses this word that we think is a dirty word in our culture today. He uses the word submit. Submit. If you're taking notes, write this down. Now, it's very interesting, the word. This word relates specifically to our relationship with authority, and it's worth investigating. In the original Greek language, the word submit is actually a compound verb formed from two Greek words. The first is hupo, H-Y-P-O, which means under, and tasso, meaning to order, place, or appoint. Okay, so let that sink in for a moment. Hupo and tasso, under, to order, to place, or to appoint. And so here's what Peter is saying to us biblically. I don't care how the world's defined it. Here's how the Bible defines it, okay? This is you and me, us literally arranging ourselves under someone's authority. They're not placing us under their authority. We make a decision to place ourselves underneath their authority. It's not their decision. It's our decision to arrange ourselves under. And the best way I know how to explain submission biblically is honestly to look at the military. We got many men and women in our church that have served in one of the branches of our military. And by the way, aren't we thankful for our military, our incredible men and women? Talk about honoring somebody who's worthy of honor and respect. One of the most hardest jobs on planet Earth to serve, so like sacrifice so much for others. People you don't even know their name. Just incredible what our men and women have done. And you see, if someone outranks you in the military, you will talk to them differently than you would somebody who ranks the same as you or someone who ranks underneath you. Like, you'll talk to your friend differently than you will someone who ranks above you in the military. And if you don't, there will be hell on earth to pay, right, for that. Like, you will not last long in the military if you talk to them in a certain way. And so you respect any man, any woman, if they have a higher rank than you. You are literally placing yourself under their authority. You are arranging yourself under their authority. Now, maybe you're thinking to yourself, like, submission is great for you, Pastor, and submission is great for Peter, but you don't know my boss. Like, it's great, great for them back then, but did you hear what that government official said this past week? Like, it's great for them, but I don't know, because we're dealing with some stuff right now, and if you're thinking that, be careful. I hope you lean in to this. Be careful, because the person in authority that Peter is talking about specifically is a guy named Nero. And I don't say this lightly, okay? In fact, if you know how I talk, I don't normally say what I'm about to say, but Nero was one of the most horrible human beings to ever live. It's just historical fact. Did horrible things, and he was the supreme leader that Peter is referring to. Can I give you one horrible example? Literally, the emperor Nero would take Christians, they would wrap them up, tie them to trees in his garden. He would cover them with wax and light them on fire. That's the kind of stuff that Nero did. He extremely and barbarically persecuted Christians. Think about Peter, who's writing this letter telling Christians to honor Nero. Nero had Peter killed, had him crucified upside down on a cross because of his faith in Jesus. This is the guy. This is the political climate. This is the leadership structure. This is the authority that Peter is talking about. And so if you can't honor our president or the president-elect, the problem is not with them. It's with you. And you are not following what the Bible says. And I'm making some people mad right now, but you put your anger in the right place, because I am only preaching God's word. That's it. So be mad at the Bible, mad at God all you want. Don't be mad at me. I am here to preach God's word to you, whether you like it or not. This is not easy, but it is necessary. It's no one else's responsibility. It is your responsibility. I'm going to place myself, I'm going to arrange myself underneath the authority that God has allowed. So what do we do, Peter? The Christians were asking. How do we respond to this guy who's killing us? He's lighting our friends on fire to light up his garden at night. He is killing Christians. They have families. What do we do? Should we storm the castle? Should we take over forcefully? Should we riot? Should we do this? Should we do that? Peter says, no. Be kind. Be good citizens. Pray for him. Pray that he finds Jesus. He needs Jesus just like you do. Like, don't try to take over forcefully. You pray and you place yourself under his leadership. Now, if Nero ever asks you to do something that's immoral, if he ever asks you to disavow your faith, of course you don't do that. We all understand that. But you do your best to honor him. Because when you honor him, you honor me. And he'll go when I think it's time for him to go, because he has the final say, or I have the final say, not him. And I trust you, God. I trust you that whether it's this person or that person, good authority, bad authority, it's not my job to figure out why they're in that authority position. It's my job to place myself underneath that leadership. It's not easy, but it's necessary. Peter's like, this is the way. Mandalorian reference, if you didn't catch, like, this is the way. Like, do it this way. So when we honor someone who is difficult to honor, we don't do it for our sake. Let's be honest, we probably don't get anything from it, but it's for God's sake. Here's the third and last point. Tony, help me close this out here. Peter says this, number three. This is encouraging. He says, I know you're going through some stuff, but we're not alone in the fire. Man, it's not easy what we're facing. There's fear that kind of creeps in of what could happen here in the next month or two, but Peter says this, we're not alone in the fire. We're not alone in the pain. This is that last portion of scripture we read together, how he ends chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. See, one of the things that happens in my role as a pastor is I know all the pain that our people are going through because I'm right there with people. I'm praying with people, and I know this about our church. We have a lot in our church family that are hurting. Like 2021, we have hope, but it's still dark. There's a lot of people in our church that you would describe it this way. I feel like I'm in the fire right now. So if you feel that way, if you're suffering, if you're in pain, please be encouraged that you're not alone in the fire. Jesus is with you. He's with you. And I love what Peter says in verses 23 through 25 because he makes it real personal, doesn't he? He says this, Jesus knows our pain. Like he experienced our pain. Friend, if you're being tempted today, you need to be encouraged that even Jesus went through temptation and overcame. Like he relates to what you're going through. I can't tell you how many people that call me or schedule a meeting with me and they had any counseling, Pastor, I need help. And really all they needed was to share their pain out loud with someone else. I didn't have to give them 10 steps. I didn't have to give them, hey, if you do these three things, Monday through, you know, then you're going to be able, no, I just needed to listen. And we prayed and they felt better. Why? Because somebody could relate to their pain. Someone cared about their pain. Can I tell you, Jesus cares. Cares, but not just like, oh, I get what you're going through. He's like, I've been through what you're going through. And when I think about that idea, hey, we're not alone in the fire, my mind goes back to an Old Testament story. And if you're familiar with church, the Bible, you probably went there too. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? These young men that, man, they are pulled away from their hometown and sacrificed so much, and yet they were faithful to God in a culture that was far from God, and they shined like stars, and they kept rising the ranks. And if you know the story, you know this. They were in front of the king one day, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was power tripping. You talk about power tripping. He had this statue built, and he said, hey, if you don't bow down to this statue, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. where these three young men are, and they don't bow down. I love what they said. They tell the king this. They say, "Our God is able to deliver us from the fire, but even if he doesn't," so good. That even if, like, he's got the power to do it. He could stop those flames in that furnace right now if he wanted to. He could teleport us back to our homeland right now if he wanted to. He could kill you, King, right now if he wanted to. But even if he doesn't, we will not worship anyone other than our God. You talk about some faith from some young men. Well, that power-tripping king, he didn't like that very much, did he, if you know the story? So the Bible says this in the book of Daniel, that he turned up the fire times seven, that it killed even some of his own men by accident. It was that hot. He throws them in, but what does the Bible say? There was another in the fire with them. Not only did they not die, the Bible says, and I love the details in the Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke. How many of y'all know you get one hair singed on your body, you smell like smoke for a week. You get within 6 feet of a bonfire and you smell like smoke for a week. You couldn't even tell that they were around flames. That's how supernatural it was. There was another in the fire. They were not alone in the fire. And so I came here to encourage somebody today that even though it feels like you're going through hell on earth, you are not alone. God is with you. God has your back. Somebody's got to receive this. I'm almost done. The trial you face, it is not fatal. I'm going to say that again. That's for somebody. The trial that you face, it is not fatal. God is doing a deep work within you. What doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger, baby. And God is doing something that you would not have experienced or you could not have gotten there on your own. But because you're going through some stuff, God is working in the middle of the stuff and he is refining you. He is purifying you. He is helping you become the man, the woman of God you were called to be. The struggle's making you stronger. God is doing more in you than everything you face outside of you. You're not alone in the fire. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray right now, as I know some hearts are racing, I pray right now, Lord, that you would seal the deal of what you've spoken. Thank you for your holy written word that not only helped so many Christians back in Peter's day, but it's helping us. Again, it's not a coincidence how you lined up everything based on what happened this past week. I pray, God, that what you're teaching us, we would let settle heavy upon our hearts and our souls. And I pray we would grow up. Stop chasing Neverland, stagnant in our faith. I pray instead we would chase after you. We would ask you to continue the work that you've begun. God, may your grace continue to flow more and more in us and through us. I pray, God, for those in this house that they've been feeding the wrong thing. They've been feeding their flesh. I pray they would realize now just the foolishness. Of course, we're gonna make bad decisions. Of course, we're gonna say things we shouldn't say if we're feeding our flesh. I pray today, Holy Spirit, that you would help them to realize it's time to starve our flesh and feed our spirit. Start partaking more in soul food. I pray even now you would start to burn a passion, a desire for your word in our hearts. That we don't have to study the word, we get to study the word. that we don't have to gather with God's people on Sundays. We get to gather with God's people on Sundays, that we don't have to serve. We don't have to give. We get to serve. We get to give. That you would light that fresh fire from within. And when we feed our spirit, it's going to grow and we're going to mature and we're going to be more like you. I pray, and this is probably many, but I pray for anybody, God, who's been dishonoring the authority above their lives. I pray, God, they would repent right now. They're wrong. Let's just say it like it is. It's wrong. It's sin. Speaking vile things about people that we consider evil. How is that godly? How does that honor you? It doesn't. I pray we'd repent right now and instead do our best to honor. I know it's not always easy, but to do our best, to pray for their salvation, to pray for a God moment in their life, just like we've experienced the Lord, to pray for a miracle. Not for our sake, but for your sake, God, to honor others. If Peter could tell Christians then to honor Nero, then we can honor our current president and also the president-elect. Not for our sake, for your sake. But God, we know it doesn't need to stop with government. It's teachers, it's bosses, it's superiors, it's parents, it's grandparents. Help us to honor. It's our police, it's our military. Help us to honor anyone in authority. And I pray lastly for my friends that are hurting. I pray, God, that you would encourage them today, that they are not alone in the fire, that you're with them, even if they can't see it, even if they can't sense it. You're here, you're there, you're with them. You will not leave them, you will not forsake them, you will not turn your back on them. Encourage them with this truth, that you understand what they're going through. And the truth is, they've really never been more like you, except when they're suffering, because you suffered and you suffered well. Thank you, God, that you're not far off and distant. Come on, keep your eyes closed in this room, watching online. God, I pray for anybody that's far from you. I pray, God, today would be their day of salvation. Again, it's not the finish line, it's the starting line, but you've got to start here. Giving our life to you. Talk about submission, that we would submit our lives to you. That no longer do we call the shots, but you call the shots, Lord. That we would confess right now with our mouth, Jesus, you are Lord, you are my God. I love you. I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And I put my faith and trust in you. That not only do you hold my life in your hand, but you hold everyone's life in your hand. Jesus, I ask you right now, if you're praying this prayer with me, it's so important that you ask him this. Jesus, I ask you now, would you please forgive me of all my sin? Make me new. I couldn't get to you, so you came to me. I received the free gift of salvation. I give you my past, my present, my future. I am changed, not because of what I can do, but because of what you've already done. Friend, if you're praying that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, Jesus, he has heard you, he cares for you, and he is saving your soul. But remember, this is not the finish line, this is the starting line. As you begin that journey for the first time, or you begin that journey again of running after Jesus, chasing after him. And as we sang earlier, you're going to realize that as you run after Jesus, he's already been running towards you. Thank you, God, for lives that are being saved. Thank you for those of us that have made decisions today to stop feeding our flesh and start feeding our spirit. Thank you for what you're doing in this house. We love you so much. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.